Hi, it's Jamie Morton here, co-creator of My Dad Wrote a Porno, to tell you all about LaunchPod, a competition to find the next UK podcast hit. Alice, James and I came up with the idea for Porno after I discovered that my dad had been writing erotica in the garden shed. And 3 years on, we are about to perform at the Royal Albert Hall in June, which is pretty insane. Visit launchpod.org to win the chance to get your podcast brought to life by podcast experts Wise Buddha and Acast.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony. Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Andrea, get your ducks in a row, Blaze.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and it's just a lovely, lovely Friday here in the world of Crappens, also known as Earth. And joining me on this wonderful day is the guy who, you know what, he is the boss. He is the boss. Good chat, Ronnie. Good chat. It's Ronnie Karam, who also is famously from Roast Prick's Bachelor Podcast / Roasts. What's going on?
Well, hello, man.
How's it going?
Good. I mean, I got my pitchfork ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go after some people, but before we do on this Southern Charm extravaganza, first, some quick shills. We are doing our live shows. We've had a few weeks off, which has been deliriously, sleepfully amazing, but we are going back out in a couple of weeks. We're going to be in Phoenix and then San Francisco right in a row. In Phoenix, we're doing Real Housewives of New York City.
Yeah.
And then in San Francisco for Gay Pride Weekend, we are doing a Southern Charm Gay Pride show. So dress accordingly. There will be prizes from LeahBlack.com. Get your facelift in a bunch.
I mean, how fun will it be to basically be in a room with 400 of your people just talking shit about this Ashley girl? I mean, come on, everyone. How do you not show up to the San Francisco show? I mean, seriously.
Seriously? Seriously?
Seriously?
Oh, it's going to be, yes. It is going to be fabulous. And also
we t-shirts. Have our new limited t-shirt out for the month. For the month of June, the limited t-shirt is... What's the matter? What's going on?
What's happening?
The Bethany shirt from Real Housewives of New York City. That is only up for, you know, a few weeks. So go over and get it. You can find a link at watchwhatcrappens.com or just go to crappensmerch.com, guys. And thank you to everybody who supports those shirts.
That shirt is amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait for mine to come in. I'm so excited for it. And by the way, there is... still, there's like a little bit of merchandise left on Amazon, and once it's gone, it's gone. But, like, there's like one coffee mug left. So, if you want it, get it, because it's Amazon Prime, so it's basically like free shipping. So, like...
yeah, go get it.
Enjoy it.
Because that stuff is gone. And
fill
now,
out your Amazon you go, order with it, yeah.
Yeah, when you go to crappensmerch.com, you will also find all of our new Watch What Crappens shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
Different sizes and colors and stuff like that. So don't worry about that. We've got lots of lady sizes. We've got baby onesies now. We're talking to everybody.
Yeah, okay? We moved over to a threadless engine. And so basically it offers like a lot more colors and shapes and sizes and everything. So it's like a lot more flexibility. So don't worry, there's still merch. It's just that the Amazon merch is running out. So if you want to fill out your order so that we can get that like $35 so you get the free delivery or the same day delivery, whatever, fill it out with a mug, you know?
Do it.
You know what I want to fill out?
What?
I want to fill out my heart by just going in on this Ashley chick. Wow. What an episode of Southern Charm. It was unrelenting with this girl. Unrelenting. Wow. And we have heard,
You know, I watched the first half last night, the second half today, but even like hours before I even sat down, man, the tweets were rolling in about this girl. Wow, people are enraged, and justifiably so.
Yes, people are losing it. And yesterday we recorded our video show, our digital television show over at TV Party app. And I was saying on that show, gosh, you know, everyone's so mean to Ashley, and she is a jerk, but geez, everyone's being so mean to her. It makes me not want to be mean to her. And then I came home directly after and watched his show and was like, Ronnie, really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Grow a pair. This woman is awful. She's awful. Like, she is top 10 awful on Bravo.
She might be a top fiver. It actually, I was surprised that you had that moment of empathy. That's like a Ben move, you know? But yeah, I was thinking about it, that there's something really so craven and terrible about her. She's deranged. She seems mentally unhinged. She's like calculating in a way that's not even fun. Like, I love a calculating bitch. Like, to me, that's the best. I will always, always stand for Linda Fiorentino in any movie she does, because she always plays a calculating bitch. What I don't like is someone who is just so obvious about their plans. Like, we're perfect together. Like, literally, if you proposed to me tomorrow, like, I would say yes. Like, it's not even calculating it. It's just desperate and sad. And it's, she has like Terry Gar hair.
It's like when you're at the El Paso State Carnival, not State Carnival, but, you know, the carnivals come through, and I'd go as a kid with my family, and people are trying so hard to win these shit prizes. It's like it's like a bear with holes in it. You know, they probably found it in some dumpster somewhere, and they're spending so much money trying to get enough tickets to get this holy, disgusting bear that's probably stained, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what this reminds me of. It's like, why are you trying so hard at the low-rent carnival? Sorry, I shouldn't say that, to get this prize. Thomas is the holy bear, okay? He's the stained bear with holes in it that probably smells.
Yeah, and she's the sort of person who thinks that she has, like, she's better in life because she got the little ring around the bottle top. You know what? The thing is this. She is, not only is she terrible, she also does her makeup terribly wrong. You know, like, at least try to have good makeup if you're going to be crazy, okay? I mean, I know bad makeup goes along with being crazy. Like, you can only be crazy if you have bad makeup, you know? Like, that's part of being crazy. But honestly, stop trying to make us seem like we're never going to come to your side if you're going to have that crazy anchor lady face. Okay? It's like anchor lady meets it. All right?
I need my villains to have hot oil treatments. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't like some straw-haired villain.
She's okay? also... She's
Ashley, make an effort. If you're going to be a villain, you need to read some Sidney Sheldon books. Yeah. You need to learn the slime manipulation. You need to get some hot oil treatments or some scrunchies, whichever you prefer. And stop torturing me with your bad villainy, because I can't take it, villainy. Okay? I was raised on very good villainy. Quality villainy.
Yeah, I mean, she literally has the hairstyle of a water buffalo. You know, like the way it's like parted in the middle. I mean, of course, a lot of people have their hair parted down the middle, but hers really speaks of water buffalo. The other thing is
missing is a fly on your face.
But she's certainly chewing some cud, if not many other things. The other thing is that she is basically... She makes women... hate women. She's part of the problem. You know, they always say, like, women are always catty to women. Women always tear each other down. And she's the reason why. Because you know what? You watch a Lifetime movie and you say, these Lifetime movies, they just prey on women's fears, and they make, you know, this is ridiculous. This would never happen. And then you meet Ashley and you realize she is every villain from every Lifetime movie.
Yeah, but you know how Lifetime movies have either the villain who's the man or the villain who's a woman, and usually it's the man, and he's like, he seems perfect at first, and then he's chasing you with scissors by the end of the movie, you know? And if it's a woman, it's like the woman wants to steal your life, you know?
She's a surrogate, but usually.
This has both. It has both. It has Thomas chasing you with scissors, and then it's got Ashley chasing you with scissors. Like, you can't both be chasing people with scissors. Learn your villainy. Again, just someone needs to teach villainy to these idiots.
But that actually makes me like them when you say it like that, because it's like, oh my God, how hilarious that two Lifetime villains found each other. Because villains never find each other. They find good people. So these two Lifetime villains found each other. It's like Monsters, Inc. You know, it's like, they're monsters, but like they have personalities too when they have to like go to work. You know, it's like these like Lifetime villains, Inc. You know?
Yeah, but who's going to be the person? Who's the hero? You know, because it's going to take a very strong hero to take both of those two down. You know, because at the end of the Lifetime movie, someone ends up pushed off the the roof.
Yeah.
Then they get back up and run a little bit. And then you finally wrestle the scissors from their hands, which you're like, yeah. How are you still holding scissors when I just pushed you off the roof? You know, then you finally get them. Then you drown them. Then you burn them. It's like a million different things you have to go through. And Catherine's not high energy enough to take these people both.
Yeah.
In. I demand Tori Spelling. Come on this.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. We need someone from like the 90s or like mid aughts. Who was maybe on a network procedural to come in and kick ass. Like an Elizabeth Rome, maybe a Marg Helgenberger, although she may be too high profile, but like maybe someone else who had like a small role on CSI, like that other lady.
Oh yeah, Marg Helgenberger got too much CSI money. You know, she was barely even moving her flashlight around by the end of her tenure there.
Yeah, we need, what's the name of the woman who was on NCIS and then she was in Bruce Almighty, her, or maybe a Lauren Holly? A Lauren Holly, I would not be mad at. Elizabeth Marie Combs, is that her name?
I feel Holly like it's going to take maybe like Christine Lottie. Do you remember that? Christine Lottie couldn't even go outside. Like she had to stay. She was agoraphobic, and so she had to stay inside.
Excuse me. You refer to her as Academy Award winner, Christine Lottie, please.
I refer to her as the good wife, continuing guest star, Christine Lottie. So. Just one upped your Oscar with a Good Wife reference. Sorry.
You're right. But we do need someone like that. We need someone to come in, someone we forgot about, like who's still sort of like, oh yeah, I remember when she was a DA on one of the Law and Orders. Ziz?
Yes. Oh, Angie Harmon.
Angie Harmon would be great. Angie Harmon would really take her down. Really take down Ashley. I like that.
Yeah, I need Angie Harmon and Tori Spelling together. Because you need two people to
do it. I don't think Tori Spelling could do it. I think she's past,
especially
she's past
now
because
she's got a lot of crazy juice now. Like, she's just losing it in public. She's fallen on hibachi
she fell
grills.
On hibachi. Yeah, she fell on a hibachi. She cannot.
But she's still alive. She can take it. I mean, the woman survived a hibachi grill.
Well, no, here's the thing. Ashley's going to be, you know, Tori Spelling will come up to her and be like, what is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And be like, how about this? Why don't you just go fall on a grill again? And then she just like shoves her into the mud. Like Ashley will do that. Like Tori Spelling is not. Oh, you know who'd be good? Jack Bauer's wife from season 1 of 24, Leslie Hope.
The
short-haired one, Terry Bauer.
I don't think we're allowed to pick people who get killed in their first season because like they automatically don't win. Like that's like the definition of not winning.
Okay, how about Nina from 24?
Okay. No, if it's going to be 24, I want it to be like the lady president or the lady.
Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones could take her. Jerry Jones could take her with a stern look.
Oh, you know who might be good? Penny Johnson-Gerald. She was David Palmer's wife. President Palmer's wife.
Sherry Palmer. But didn't she go crazy?
Sherry Palmer.
Oh, no, that was the chick from Designing Women.
Oh, well, June Smart would totally take down Ashley.
She would, but she's always having a nervous breakdown. Okay, we've got to stop Lifetime because this is a really long episode.
But we all need this. We all need to discuss this because Ashley is definitely top five. And maybe let's circle back maybe next week, maybe on our TV party app thing. We can talk about Bravo villains because as of right now, it's hard for me to remember someone that was like, this deeply despicable. Except, I mean, Stassi, the first episode of Vanderpump Rules, I mean, Stassi was almost as bad as this girl.
Yeah, but Sheena kind of deserved it. I mean, I know that we have hindsight now, but, you know, looking back on it, Sheena kind of did deserve it. Like, all the people Stassi took down kind of deserved it in the end. I mean, Jax. I mean, Kristen. Like, everyone deserved it. But Catherine, what did Catherine even do to you, lady? Like, she had babies with somebody that you like. That
yeah.
She didn't invite you.
Yeah, awful. Well, let's dive into it. Let's dive in because it's a supersized episode, and there was just, it's like wall-to-wall content. And we also want to touch on Southern Charm New Orleans afterwards. So we got a lot, and the mailbags. So we got a lot to get into. So no more dilly-dallying. Let's jump in. The show opens up as usual with a Trixie Monocle, you know, musical moment where we see what, like, previously on Southern Charm, and it's like Trixie be like, anyone who's in the know that says he makes kids go loco.
Trixie had some odd moments in here, and for everybody, we know that Mia Sable is the writer of the song on here, and she's very talented, and we're not trying to like take her talent away from her and give it to some random person we made up, okay? Trixie Monocle, in our mind, began on Ladies of London as the songwriter and then took over every show on Bravo. So in our minds, Trixie Monocle is this badass English chick who just makes all the music.
Well, okay? She's the queen of royalty-free music that Bravo plays from show to show.
She's got two-toned hair that's still kind of in the Jennifer Aniston cut sometimes.
A little
bit. But then she'll crimp it. Like, she'll crimp it.
Yeah, she has a jean jacket.
Yeah, she wears bandanas in her hair sometimes. Like, she goes full-on Madonna sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, she was part of a band. Did you know that she was once part of a band? It was called...
Of course,
Three-Armed Octopus.
Yes. But then she, like, pulled a Stevie Nicks and, like, kind of slept with everybody, and then everybody got all mad at her, and then, you know, so they broke up. But they still get back together sometimes for, like, a good old reunion at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, like, in the parking lot there. And so she... She really feels like she was robbed of stardom because that band, like, she was pushed out because essentially, like, she saw herself as the star of the band, and then they were like, listen, you're causing too much problems. She's like, you know, I could do it without you. And now she's stuck in the world of royalty free music, and she knows
she's pushing the envelope.
She is.
You know, she's really pushing the envelope lately. She's changed Bravo music forever. Bravo music has never been better. And then she's doing things like, I need different orchestras for different shows. And so she's always running up against budget issues. Like this one, this particular season of Southern Charm, she got a banjo player in one time, and it ruined her budget. And so she's had to, like, stoop really low. So basically, I brought this up because people are asking who she is. And also because Trixie really is... trying for that banjo budget in this episode, and I just hope she gets it.
I hope so too. I mean, the thing is that she's been chasing the highs that she hit on Ladies of London with her seminal song God Save the Queen, God Save the Queen, and guess what, the queen is me. It's hard to top it, and she's been chasing that fame. Everyone's like, when is Trixie gonna come out with, you know, like, when is she going to hit those highs again? Is she a one-trick pony? And so here she is trying to change up her sound on Southern Charm.
Yeah. So here we are, back in DeFusky. Or DeFusky.
I'm really glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, I mean, it needed to be said. Okay. I was like, let's hurry up. No, first let's talk for 20 minutes about Trixie.
Now, so here we are in Grace DeBrisky Island.
DeFusky. And they did you notice the close-up on the sign? No crying or caterwauling at any time.
Sure did. It was there last week, too.
So we are back at this fight, which is, you know, Ashley, sorry about your grandma, but you're a bitch because blah, 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 blah. So she's just mouthing off.
Yeah.
And she starts threatening to tell everybody all this gossip that she knows about Catherine and raising the kids.
Yeah, she's saying things like, you guys don't even know. I mean, those kids, when they come back from weekend with Catherine, they don't sleep. They don't even sleep. And then I almost didn't even follow this because Catherine's like, well, that's because I only have them for 2 days or whatever. I didn't know what was happening. I just knew that, like,
she's saying, of course they don't sleep. They're traumatized. They come to me for 2 days. Then you guys take them back. And it's like they're traumatized, you know.
Yeah.
But also just some advice. You probably shouldn't leave your cook bags just lying around because, you know, they could get on the baby's skin. They're probably like jumping up and down for like weeks on end. Those poor little babies.
So Craig and Shep are just like watching. Was it Craig and Shep or Craig and Austin? I don't remember. They're just watching from afar.
The boys.
Yeah, just the boys. They're watching from afar. Craig's like, should I go over there or
Well, Nomi's over there, so like if Nomi waves me over.
Nomi wouldn't wave you over if she was on fire.
No.
Okay. You'd probably bring some yarn. You'd probably bring some, like, bring a Singer sewing machine and try and sew her fingers together to make a better fan to put out the fire, Craig.
So I heard that, like, when you're on fire, you should stop, drop, and roll. So here's, like, a ball of yarn because it, like, rolls really well. It's like, Craig, I'm literally burning alive right now, and I think I'd rather just, like, burn than listen to you right now.
You idiot! Blow! Save your soul!
Or, like, abusive French.
Yeah.
So Shep's like, Cars, it's not really anyone's place to get in between two ladies. So then we go back to Ashley, and she's like, what's scary is that you are getting more time with them, and that is scary. And then she starts, like, doing this flip of her hair thing.
She's, like, flipping the water buffalo hair back. She's like, Like she's, it's like, it's almost like a cloak, you know?
It's a double-handed flip, yes.
Yeah. It's like, it's very annoying. And it would be like, how about like, yes, it's just, I don't like it.
Yeah, but it's like making a blanket out of straw and then just like flicking it at a fireplace. It's going to go, it's going to start on fire, okay? Stop flicking your hair. And also get a weave, because this is a typical housewives move, and especially like a Beverly Hills or Atlanta move, where they get really mad and they either start pulling at their weave or wig, or they start flipping their hair or wig. And so if you're going to do that, get rid of the straw, hot oil.
Yeah. Or how about this ponytail?
Ponytail works, but you know what? It's just a temporary fix. It's not really a fix. It's like a temporary camouflage.
I don't know. It's like, it's just amazing that like everything about this woman is terrible. From the thickness of her hair to the way she flips it back. It's just, she just, a proper villain would know how to use that hair to her advantage. To really like make a point with that hair, you know?
But like, we're trying to help her. Like, we're giving advice to somebody who doesn't need help. They need to be shut down. Okay.
I think it was last year on Survivor. There was this one girl named Mikhail, and she had long braids, and she was so moody. I loved her. And at one point, some guy thought he was going to like vote her out, and somehow everything turned, and that guy wound up being voted out. But through tribal council, he was acting all cocky. So when it came time to like, when the votes were being like read, like, and his name was coming up, she was sitting in front of him and she just like whipped her head to the right and all her braids just like slapped him across the knees. It's like, that's how you use hair.
Yes. That's what Ashley needs. Lots of braids. That'll make people like her more.
Yeah, that's what they are. Cornrows. That'll be great when she comes out with cornrows.
She would too. Cornrows
under her MAGA hat. Yeah,
she would. So, Catherine. Now, I love when Catherine is just furious because her voice raises to this. Shut the fuck up! You hear me?
No, she don't sell her short, because she's normally like, no. And then she's like, you better shut the fuck up. Do you hear me? I was like, that's like the crazy Catherine that we remember. And it's being used for good, which I like.
And Ashley, watch yourself, hair flick. Watch yourself, hair flick. Watch yourself, hair flick.
Catherine's like, or what?
And yeah. Danny says, don't threaten her, Miss Slow Roller. Roll slower. Slowly roll slow.
And then she faints.
And then she falls over. Danny, just give Danny a job already. I mean, if she hasn't earned it in the past 20,000 seasons, she's earned it today.
I know. Well, I think Danny and Naomi, I don't know why they're not like main cast members, especially Naomi. Naomi is so central to the season, and she brings it, and I love her eye rolling. Like, she has an attitude that should not be as entertaining as it is, but like, I love it. Every single time she rolls her eyes or berates Craig or berates anyone, I'm like, standing ovation.
I mean, at the very least, she's brought evil French to she's brought abusive French to Southern Charm, which I love.
Yeah.
I'm so glad someone's tearing apart romantic French.
So Ashley's like, you know what, Catherine, I just don't respect you. It's like, oh, like who the fuck cares who you respect, okay? Did anyone ask you, Ashley, who you respect? Does anyone care who gets into Ashley's book of respect? That's probably written in like stamps, because like hand stamps, because you probably can't write. How about that?
Yeah, Ashley, weren't you just trying to like get money from one of your old hospice patients? God, I love you, internet, by the way. Allegedly.
Oh, really?
No one's asking you, Ashley. Okay. So Austin's like, oh, guys. Someone should, you know, maybe step in. Like, Thomas should step in, I think. And then you hear Danny's like, Thomas, shut her the fuck up, Thomas. He's like, well, anyone want a mayor hand meal?
Yeah.
Would anyone like to discuss how you have to pay extra for a side salad instead of French fries?
And this is a man who actually wanted to run for public office. You know, like, here he has to, like, do something, like, show some sort of, like, leadership here in this situation. And he's like, well, you know what's funny about this island is that Hilton Head's an island too, and it's not a mountain, and I like islands, both the geographical formation and the restaurant.
Yeah, he solves nothing. He's like the mayor who brings red light cameras to town and then has to go to a city hall meeting about red light cameras and is like, well, you know, maybe we should do something about those red light cameras. You brought the red light camera to town, Thomas. And yes, Ashley, I did just compare you to a red light camera. That is how low you have sunk.
And one of those red light cameras that also goes off if you, like, make a right on red, but you don't, like, stop, like, long enough before you do it. I mean, not that it's happened to me, because I'm a very good driver. But, you know, there's, like, sneaky red light cameras that do that. And that's what she is. She is a sneaky red light camera.
Yeah, you're just going along with your life, and then suddenly you get a bill for $500 from Ashley.
Yeah, you know,
don't
she's
even
actually,
know what it's for.
She's like a fucked up red light camera where it just goes off, and you're like, wait a second, I was stopped, I wasn't even in the intersection, but it goes off anyway, and it keeps going off, and you're like, stop flashing at me, you're wrong.
So the red light camera has the nerve to stand up to everybody, and so everybody had the nerve to stand up to her when she's trying to take down Catherine. And so now she's really mad. Now she's really flicking the hair, and she's doubling down. So she tells Catherine, well, you know, people did warn me about being in this relationship with Thomas, and it's because you're involved.
Yeah, the only reason why people warn me against dating Thomas is because you're part of the situation. You know, I actually do kind of believe that, because Catherine has had a track record of being real crazy. She has really gotten her shit together. But let's not forget, there were seasons where I was like very anti-Catherine. I was like, she's a crazy bitch and she is manipulative, and like she needs to be cut out. I know I said that stuff, and I've changed my tune, as is my right as a podcaster. But also, though, like, you know what else you should be warned about, Ashley? Thomas Ravenel. How about that? How about this man is a felon? how about he is terrible? How about he has, like, a wake of destruction in his path? How about, I mean, and now there's these new rape allegations, which are very, very serious. How about all that? And, like, Catherine's the problem? Just, yeah, flick your water buffalo hair.
Oh,
do that.
You know who else deserves a piece of it? Deidre, you fucking asshole Deidre, the nanny. What kind of fucking nanny are you to try and turn everybody against the mother of the children, okay, with your color-coded fucking iCal calendar thing that you're trying to shove in everybody's face? Hey, Deidre, take a fucking seat, okay? You are the help, lady.
So Danny is...
Because Ashley is next with Deidre information. Yeah. She's like, I'll say what I want. Deidre, the nanny. You mean the one whose daughter was, like, coming in to fuck Thomas? That one? Again,
that
thank you,
what?
Internet, allegedly. Thank you, Internet, oh, allegedly. So the and by the way, this is all just trash talk I'm reading on the internet.
And
so
by the way, and also throughout this, as we mentioned before, Danny continues to say, Thomas, you have to get her to stop. She is crossing a line. Just stop. And he's like, well, yeah.
So Ashley's like, Deidre said the kids wake up four times a night to go sleep in his bed. And Danny's like, zip it. Okay. And she's like, oh, I hear it from the nanny. Deidre, the one you fired? Oh, yeah. She just...
Some of that good...
Now she's just going to repeat her words.
Yeah, I'm like, great work with that personnel rumor, you know, like great update. Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying. But then, so
yeah,
now
it's... Yeah, good job on your human resources,
gossip.
You know, slam.
Yeah.
You dumb fucker.
So Thomas, we then cut to Thomas, and he's doing mayor hands, and he's like... Well, I'm trying to be respectful towards Ashley, and if I jump in and try to pull her away, I think that would be disrespectful. I'm like, oh, so now this is your moment where you're going to be respectful to a woman? This is the moment? And then he goes, but at the same time, I don't want her to be disrespectful to the mother of my children, so I'm in a tough position. I'm like, you're not in a tough position. You tell her, be quiet. Please be quiet. Like, this is not being productive, and we have to co-parent together. We'll talk about this privately.
But then Ashley won't even, like, take his lame help, because he's like, ladies, can we try and salvage the evening? I've moved for a vote on the subject. And Ashley's like, oh, ha-ha, that's so funny, Thomas. Thomas.
She goes,
and Catherine's just like, shut the fuck up.
They're all just staring. Naomi's
just
like,
be quiet now, okay?
Naomi's just sharpening French knives under the table. She's like, just give me a moment. Give me one shot. Just give me one shot at her. That's all I ask. So Ashley's like, Catherine, you know what? I really hope that you're going to try to be the best mother you can be. I pray. And Catherine's just like, shut the fuck up. God damn.
So Danny takes Thomas aside to yell at him. She's like, you don't walk away. You come back over here. She's not allowed to talk that way. He's like, all right, I guess I'll walk back. Anybody got the giant hand I can play with while I do this? So they get back and Ashley's like, you didn't even go to the hair flick hospital when your kid was hair flick sick.
Yeah.
And Catherine's like, this girl is such an idiot. You think I didn't want to go to the hospital? Thomas didn't allow me to.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's like, gross.
It's obvious, yeah. And the fact that, like, yeah, this is, I mean, it's terrible that Ashley is sitting here fighting these battles that, you know, she knows nothing about. She's not in any place. And you know what? She's also not Thomas's wife. They have been dating for, like, 2 or 3 months, right? Like, she is in no place to start acting like the pissed off stepmother to these children, okay? She may have her thoughts, she may have her concerns, but, like, it's not your place. You haven't earned it yet.
Yeah. So Danny pulls the ultimate Southern girl thing, the Southern popular girl thing. And she goes, you know what? Shut up. No one wants you to sit here anyway.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, snap. Those are some fifth grade snaps right there.
I know. Yeah. Because Ashley was like, how many times did you visit your son? How many times? This is what I hear from the nanny. Yeah. The nanny. The nanny. The nanny. The
so
nanny.
Catherine,
the nanny.
Yeah, I know the nanny. Pressure just pops the back nanny. Up from up. She's like, did somebody call me? Mr. Sheffield.
I'm like, just because you watch old reruns of The Nanny does not mean that, does not constitute gossip about your kids.
Yeah, Fran Drescher is like Beetlejuice. You just say her name enough and she pops up anywhere.
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Oh, Craig.
Yeah, so Thomas finally pulls Ashley away from this madness, which he should have done a long time, way sooner.
Hi, it's Jamie Morton here, co-creator of My Dad Wrote a Porno, to tell you all about LaunchPod, a competition to find the next UK podcast hit. Alice, James and I came up with the idea for Porno after I discovered that my dad had been writing erotica in the garden shed. And 3 years on, we are about to perform at the Royal Albert Hall in June, which is pretty insane. Visit launchpod.org to win the chance to get your podcast brought to life by podcast experts Wise Buddha and Acast.
And Craig is like, why are they coming towards us?
No, he doesn't pull her up. He doesn't even take her away. I mean, unless I've just wrote it down wrong, which is possible because that's how I roll. But the girls all turn on her and tell her to shut up. Well, they have been this whole time. But Catherine's ignoring her. She's getting nowhere. She's just flicking straw everywhere like it's a weapon. Like straw is like embedding itself in the wood beams in this place. And she's not getting what she wants. So she gets up and walks away. And she's like, I want to go. I do not like any of those girls. Okay. So that was your choice.
Yeah.
So
I didn't realize that.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
And so then we get to Whitney. Whitney, shit stirring little Whitney.
Yeah.
Now, I get that it's your job as a producer of this show to stir shit, but could you do it off camera and stop trying to ruin everybody's life so blatantly? You ass.
Why? What did he do? I don't remember.
This whole episode, okay? Well, this part, he's nice because he's like, I'm shocked. Mother, he handled it very well. Even mother approves. Don't you, mother? 2 years ago, you would have stabbed her with a fork. Here's a fork. And Catherine's like, well, I'm glad I have you guys because I would be alone in a set. My blood is boiling. I love Catherine's like quiet rage. But he starts shit this whole time. So I'm just marking it down.
I didn't see this as a shit-stirring moment, though.
This is just the beginning.
Just, I mean, later on, he has a moment.
He has a couple.
But this was, to me, was him just being like, he was actually part of the people saying, Thomas, do you want to intervene here? Thomas, you should maybe say something? You want to dial this down, Thomas? He was like, maybe being a little too passive.
I think, but I just saw the name Whitney, so that automatically infuriated me.
He actually was not doing anything. I didn't think he was telling Thomas to basically get your girl, and then later on he told Catherine that she handled it well. So I didn't see that as particularly.
I see. I have it for the whole episode. It's a macro, so I saw his name and I got furious.
It's okay.
So just you hold on.
Just you wait, Ronnie Karam. Just you wait. So
Chelsea's like, I can't imagine that. I can't. Old dad tried to include her and be nice, but that was deep. Holy shit.
That's an evil bitch right there.
Trixie Monocle's like trying to break through the back entrance. She's like, can I please play the banjo for this moment? They're like, no, Trixie.
What about a jazz flute? A jazz flute. I think it would go real well. Real well. Paul, hit it. 3, 2, 1. Sadness at the picnic. Sadness. No. Okay.
So the guys come back to the table, you know, chivalrous as ever, like when it's all over. And Austin's like, you okay with it? And Chelsea's like, that is an evil bitch. And it's basically like hearing Forrest Gump call somebody a bitch. It's the weirdest thing. Yeah. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was like, look what you have done to Chelsea.
I know. Yeah. It was also like the first of like 10 different times that Chelsea cried over something. She's like, that tree over there, it reminds me that things grow and they get tall. And then in the fall, they might turn orange.
Cry me a river. I remember the river. It was in the backyard.
She basically turns into Rune from Big Business doing the Jupiter Hollow monologue every scene. She's like, out there, Tom stands still. Just look at the stars and you could see forever in Jupiter Hollow. It's like, okay, Chelsea, calm down.
So the guys come over and Shep's like, can I get a Garsh download, Garsh? And they're like, no, just shut up. You don't even want to know, boys. Thanks for your help. Just shut up. Just sit down and eat and be quiet.
And meanwhile, Ashley is still ranting over with Tom. She's like, babe, I try to be my kind, sweet. I try to like kiss her ass. I try to be kind. And I'm like, kiss her ass. And I kiss her ass. And I kiss her ass. And you know what? I knew I wasn't invited to that birthday party. I'm like, you did not kiss her ass, and who cares about the birthday party? Like, relax about the birthday party. But seriously, show me where you kissed her ass. You were being nice to her. You were being, like, the basic level
of... She wasn't even. When she showed up to that first lunch, she was trying all sorts of shit. Like, telling her she's too tall. Then she was trying to start all sorts of shit with her, and Catherine kept that nice. Because Dashley did not show up to be nice.
But what I'm saying is, like... What she thinks is kissing someone's ass is just like the basic level of human interaction that someone should expect from another person. Like, oh, hi, how are you? Like speaking like in a normal way. And to Ashley, it was like, oh, I did so much. Look at what I did. Look how I put myself out there. I'm like, you sat there and you talked about Gwyn's. Okay. Like that is not, that is that you did not go over.
I was trying to support local businesses, babe.
Yeah.
So she's like, she said I'd only be around a hair flick month. How bad of a mother do you have to be that the courts would take the kids and give them to, now excuse me, Thomas, excuse me, but a convicted felon like you?
And you're wonderful. You're a wonderful felon. I'm like, how about this? Let's think less about...
I mean, that was good.
That was hilarious.
That was a good moment.
But let's think about it. What's worse? That the courts took two children and gave them to a convicted felon, or that you voluntarily flew across the country to be with said convicted felon.
Yeah.
And he's wonderful. He is just wonderful.
So then she's like, they're enablers. Enablers. Oh, Catherine. Oh, and Danny. This isn't your conversation. Enabler. 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 She's just like losing. Ranting. She is full on villain losing it, just repeating her words. So then they cut to Danny at the table, and she's like, I cannot count how many times that girl flipped her hair. Okay? Yeah. If she flipped her fucking hair one more time, and Naomi's like, watch. Which meant, I feel like she's going to come back. Because that is the kind of girl who's going to be like, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here so they don't win. So then it cuts to Ashley. And she's like, what do we do? Enabler! Enabler! And Thomas is like, let's just go to dinner. And she goes, I'm not leaving. And you know what? I'm not leaving literally or figuratively, my little felon. You're stuck with me, Thomas. You are stuck with me.
That's what happens when someone who is perfect for someone else is with someone like that. You get stuck with the perfect person who will someday have babies that will be perfect, unlike the other babies.
Uh-oh, they're coming back. And then we say, oh, shit, I'll show, I told you, stupid.
By the way, what a nightmare if Thomas does have a baby with Ashley or babies. What a fucking nightmare she will be to the other kids. That'll be like the example of evil stepmother. She will be play total favorites to her kids with Thomas, and she will treat Saint and the other one like total like runts, you know? It will be a terrible situation.
Yeah. I mean, Thomas is surprising me because I cannot believe he's still with this monster. I cannot believe it. Like, to this day, he is still with her because...
Yeah.
He's not going to marry her and give her children, is he? Please say no. I mean, I can't even believe I'm rooting. Oh, not yeah. rooting, but you know what I mean? It feels weird. Like, don't give her what she wants. Like, that's such a great prize, you know? Right. But, ugh, gross.
So the best part about all this... the best part about all this is that they all have to take a ferry back together, which is great. That they, like, after all this, they have to be stuck on a boat. So it's like a miniature episode of Below Deck. It's like Below Ferry. So... I'm sorry.
So they go inside, and Ashley's like, Thomas, I just want you to know, I haven't fought for a man like that ever, but it's my life, and I don't see it without you, and if you propose tomorrow, I would say yes. You know that, right, babe? I would say yes, right? And he's like,
uh-huh. I love you. I love you. And then outside, Craig is trying to, like, compliment Catherine. He's like, the reason she handled it so well is because she's sober and crushing life. Yeah. And they're like, okay, like, quiet, Craig. And then he was like, Craig goes,
they didn't handle it, I would have had to come over. And Danny just laughs in his face. She's like, oh, you would have handled it, huh?
Because you would have saved the day. And then they just all laugh at him. It was great. Sorry, I jumped the gun. We're not on the ferry yet. Even I don't know why I had that in my notes there. I think they just mentioned that they have to take a ferry. So they were all just, like, not excited for it. So everyone starts, you know, the party sort of breaks up for a second because people go to pee and everything. And Chelsea and Austin are left alone together to have a talk by the fire. And Austin now has to sort of talk to Chelsea about his situation with Victoria, who, you know, is home making soup for him when he gets back. And so he's like, he's telling her that he's giving Victoria another shot, but he really doesn't want to lose Chelsea again, you know? And I don't know, I kind of was like, I don't know, the way he's handling these women sort of like, it doesn't rub me the wrong way in the sense of like, man, you know, I'm just like, ugh, like he's playing these women against each other a little bit, you know?
He's just so smarmy. Like, he's just so fucking smarmy, you know? It's like Chelsea won't bone him, so he immediately goes right back to her friend, you know?
Exactly.
It's just gross. So Chelsea's like, well, but also you said that you ended it with her because it wasn't right and you weren't feeling the way you're supposed to be feeling. He's like, well, I might have said that because you were paying for my sizzler. So. Exactly. And the music goes ding. And he's like, well, at what point did you know that we weren't going to work out? Like, maybe the first time she got a piece of, like, the bread basket spit on her face and then had to pay for the dinner, maybe.
Yeah, maybe when your birthday gift to her was, like, three Groupons to Outback.
Maybe when you said three words with your voice, but your mouth said, like, a paragraph. Like, how is anybody supposed to know when there's a break in the conversation?
So Chelsea's basically like, well, we're in different parts of our lives, like... I'm at the part of my life where I like to sit on a porch swing and look at the stars and think about how it used to be in life. It was so wonderful. And you like to party and bone girls, so...
I'm at the point in my life where I don't like to pay for every meal for some man without a job.
I'm at the part of my life where I like a man to wear a camo at all times and not a bad polo shirt by a Hollister.
And Chelsea has her walls down, and so the producers were like, you know what, we're giving the women a lot of shit. Trixie, here's $5. And she's like, that's not enough for a banjo. And they're like, it's enough for a guitar, Trixie, okay? Is this the hill you want to die on, Trixie Monocle? And she's like, all right, guitar strum, I'm still a guitar strum.
I can do this.
I just love whenever it comes to Chelsea, they get so like, okay, it's a guitar strum, it's a banjo now. That's so country.
Ding, 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 ding. So and then Chelsea's like, well, Austin, I feel bad because you were in a position where you had to choose between your friendship with me and a relationship with Victoria, and I kind of put you in that position, and I'm sorry for doing that. I'm like, why are you apologizing to this guy? Why, Chelsea? No.
Yeah, and then Austin's like, well, we'll be close until we're geriatrical. And I was like, this is gross.
Yeah, and then she goes, every now and then I wonder, am I missing out on something here? I'm like, no. No, you're not. You're literally, what you see is what you get right here. This is it. Yeah. This is what you're getting. And you're not
missing
anything.
That's what I wonder when I haven't been to the Golden Corral for a while. And then I go and it shits for days. Okay? Yeah. Here's my advice. So inside, Shep is like, hey, couple. Hey, couple, how's it going over here, Garsh? I'm the nice one, Garsh.
Sorry that what happened. Garsh.
Garsh, Ashley, I thought you were getting along so well with the lesser sex. And she's like, I was appeasing her, Shop. Do you know what appeasing means? You know what they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. He's like, yeah, Sun Tzu. The point is, like, this is turning more into Vietnam, which is a book I read myself to sleep with every night.
Yeah. I kind of feel like you're Robert McNamara launching a terrible offensive in a war you're not going to win. And I'm just telling you right now, pull out before you get to the Tet Offensive. We don't need this right now.
Thomas is like, real men don't pull out ever.
It's called spray and pay. Oh, no, spray and pray. And I'll just come inside her.
He's like just dropping the poetry.
He's like, I don't pull out.
So Shep's like, well, I guess you should just not say things you can't take back. She's like, I don't care, Herr Blake. I don't like her. And what I see on a daily basis, you don't know. And guess what? Yeah, we do, because we see Thomas's camel toe as much as anybody in that town. Okay. And I agree, you should get something. But
I think she's right. Like, what she sees on a daily basis, I don't know. Like, I don't understand her reality. I don't understand the world that she lives in. So you're right, Ashley. What you see on a daily basis, we do not know. You want to be Rebecca De Mornay? There, I said it. So, Shep goes.
We have jobs.
So Shep is like, Garsh, I'm going to borrow a line from MTV's Diary. You might think you know, but you just don't know, so you have to be a little bit deferential to the past. Garsh, she's like, well, I don't know what deferential means, but I can tell that you're already enabling. Enabling nanny, nanny, enabler, nanny, 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 enabler.
Oh, and then she goes, she doesn't want those kids. She doesn't want to be a mom. She doesn't care about those kids. Oh, my God. So Shep is like, whoa,
yeah.
She should know better. She's 30-something. I mean, way too old to date, even for me. And so I know that she should know. That was outrageous and unfair and ungarsh kind.
she's like iffy seafood. When in doubt, throw it out. Garsh.
When you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean.
That's the way the cookie garsh crumbles. Garsh, my cookie crumbled.
If you sprinkle on the tinkle, if you sprinkle when you tinkle. Okay, so they're walking to the boat, and Ashley just gets worse and worse. She's like, will you pay me to walk by? Just push him in.
She's just totally unhinged, and I think that she thinks that she is the hero in this situation. Like, she must think she's getting this great edit. It's like Mean Girls, and she's finally stood up to them, and now she's having her moment of liberation. And it's the exact opposite. She's just being more obnoxious. So they get on this little ferry, and they're all sitting there, and it's sort of awkward. She and Thomas are in, like, one section. She's all against the wall, and everyone else is sitting somewhere else. And so now this is where Whitney stirs the shit up. So
Catherine goes, this feels like the Titanic. The Titanic at least had a good ending. Okay? Drowned his ass.
It's like the non-love boat. So Whitney goes up to Ashley, and she's like, So, Mother, Chelsea doesn't want you to stay in the house tonight. What are you going to do about that?
Yep.
And so that was full-on shit-stirring. So now, but yeah, Chelsea doesn't back
down. I heard
down.
You got mad about it earlier, so now I'm not mad anymore. You see yeah. How it works? Like, I aimed my rage at the wrong scene.
Well, right now the rage really should be aimed towards Thomas, because Chelsea does not back down from it. She goes, well, yeah, I told Catherine that if she doesn't feel comfortable with you being in the house tonight, then, like, you just can't be in the house tonight. And then, so Ashley goes to T-Rap. She goes, you hear this? Enabler? Hair flip? It's up to Catherine if I stay in the house tonight. It's up to Catherine if I stay in the house tonight.
So here's why I think I got so mad earlier at Whitney. Because wasn't Whitney the one at dinner who was like, oh, God, now we have to go back to the house together? What are you going to do? We're all going to be back at the house. What are you going to do, Chelsea? Like, I think he was the one starting Chelsea. Well, I think he was the one who got Chelsea to say, well, that's going to be uncomfortable.
Maybe. I mean,
it was one of
I don't
the
think that's
a, that's
like it. That's a pretty light stir, though, because it's I don't think it's
not really. Not if he first. Used it against her. Not if he's like, oh, yeah. Is she going to come back to the house? What are you going to do? And then she's like, well, that'll be uncomfortable. And he's like, Chelsea's trying not to let you come back to the house.
So now that Ashley tells Thomas this, he turns that real evil Thomas that we haven't seen in a little bit, but like it's that evil where he sneers and he gets like when he turns evil, it is scary because he curls his upper lip. It is a full on sneer.
It is possum scary. And I reserve the possum look for Tamara Barney from Real Housewives of Orange County. And Thomas even tops her possum look.
I mean, I think it's like a hyena. I think it's like beyond possum at this point. This is a man whose his eyebrows go up, his nose flares, his lip curls, his teeth come. I mean, it is like nasty. And he springs up. His hair gets all of a sudden like immediately disheveled. He springs up and gets right into Chelsea's face. And he's like, "Did you just say it's up to Catherine if she can stay in the house tonight?" And even Chelsea she was like, "Whoa, whoa." I mean, it was like, it was intense and it's scary and it makes you wonder what really happens behind closed doors, you know?
Yeah, and it's like if you saw Walter Matthau become possessed by Satan and Satan was a possum. Yeah. You know? It's like, why is that guy from Grumpy Old Men turning like this? Like, he's so evil. When did this happen?
And he's like, you
don't have the fucking decision. You don't have no say. And don't act like you do. Spittle, spittle, spittle. Spittle, tiny poop in my pants.
And Chelsea's like, okay. And he goes, and shut the fuck up. I mean, it is so nasty. I mean, you want to talk about toxic masculinity. I mean, poster boy right here. It is actually like vile behavior. Vile, violent, aggressive behavior that is scary. And it's like, it's not right at all. And it's also like, oh, and now is the time when you decide to take a stand. You have, you know, the two women in your life are going at it and you just sit back. And now, you know, Chelsea, who's been very composed and like level-headed and is doing, you know, is reacting to Ashley's crazy in a very like normal way. And you're going to do that? No.
Yeah, she wasn't even reacting to anything. She was put on the spot by Whitney. It's like, okay. So then Austin's like, don't yell at her. And then Danny says, Ashley, don't you go smirking over there like you just won something. And she's like, shut up, you enabler. 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 I don't know what she's doing. Yeah. She's like then, trying to start her own like Music Man over there, Ashley.
And then when Music Man. But and by the way, when after Thomas said and shut the fuck up, it went to commercial, but the music was like bum bum bum. And I had to put it on closed captioning because I couldn't even understand what Thomas was saying. And the closed captioning for that moment, it goes, dramatic music pounds. I was like, yes. So then Thomas, he's still like, he is now fully transformed into Foghorn Leghorn. He's like, don't act like you have the power when you don't have the fucking power. Chelsea, you do not have the power.
She's like, okay, God, you know. And then Austin says, the fact that Ashley isn't trying to de-escalate this speaks volumes for her character, which is complete trash.
Yeah. Amen. Like, Thank you, Austin.
I mean, it would be nice if you did a little more than just go, don't yell at her at this moment, but yeah. Okay.
But it's nice to see the guys all turn on her because the guys do tend to stay out of the fray or they try to be like, oh, like, gosh, you know, they try to be like peacemakers. I'm just sad that Cameron wasn't there because I really would have liked Cameron to weigh in. It's like, it's actually like, it almost feels like a crime, the fact that we just don't get to have Cameron in any of these scenes. Like,
Cameron doesn't have the best track record. She is usually on the men's side. She's usually on Thomas and or Whitney's side.
There's no way she would have been on. Here's the thing. There's no way she would have been on the men's side in this case. And Cameron is smart. She knows which way the wind blows. And she knows the tide has turned for Catherine to become the protagonist now. I guarantee she would have had some snarky-ass comments, and I'm, like, really bummed that I can't see them.
I know. What the hell, you guys? You should have waited until she pushed out this baby.
So then Shep, of course, he is being a little bit of an apologist for T-Rab, and he's like, gosh, he's had a tough night. It's not what he wanted. Gosh. I'm like, don't make excuses for this man who just yelled at Chelsea, who told her, like, fuck you, who said that she doesn't have the power, you know, like, wielding his southern privilege. No.
And just when you think, okay, everything's over, it can't get worse than this, then they start making out.
They are making
while they're looking at every. They won't even look at each other while they're making out. They look at everybody else while they're trying to catch each other's lips. I mean, they are disgusting pigs.
They are that couple at the. You know, like you go to a bar and then there's like that one middle-aged couple where it's like a wife who, I am going to age shame now. I am, because I, you know, I feel like certain bars, there are certain ages go to certain bars. And sorry, that's just the way it is, okay? And you know, there's always that one couple. There's like that 55-year-old guy who's usually in some sort of like button-down shirt that has little flower stitching in it, you know, and then he has this like hot girl, but she's like 47 and she's like weird, like she's got like a wig and like big lips and she's just like a disaster, and they put on Jimmy Buffett and they're just like making out and no one else in the bar is making out, and everyone else is like 22 and you're like, what are they doing here? Why are they like, why are they putting on this show? Why are they ruining this bar for us? That is Thomas and Ashley.
Ugh.
And you may say I'm being, you know, you could dissect what I just said and be like, why can't a woman look like that? Why can't a woman do that at a young bar? Why can't a guy do that at a young bar? You can do that all you want, but you all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know.
It's just flaunting your grossness, yeah. Basically. It's just gross people flaunting their grossness.
Yeah, and then Ashley does this, and she is trying so hard to create a codependent relationship, and she's like, it's just you and me against the world, baby. I'm like, okay, settle down, Bonnie and Clyde, all right?
And then Whitney. Of course, Whitney comes in like the big savior he is, as if he didn't just start all this shit on purpose. He's like, oh, Thomas, chill. Mother says you need to chill and fucking smile. Breathe. See? Breathe. See? And Thomas is like, chill, see? I'd like to apologize to this town and your district. If I hurt your feelings, it was ungentlemanly, and I'm sorry. And she's like, thanks.
Thanks so much. And Catherine's like, looking at Thomas and Ashley looks like an unhealthy mental hospital room couple. It was sort of like a convoluted insult and yet exactly perfect.
Yeah,
and by the way,
it's like mixing your insults all together, but it works. It's like an insult salad. This couple needs an insult salad. You can't just use one.
An insult salad. And by the way, I just want to say, speaking of mother, Patricia has been like very anti-Ashley, and there was just something that was posted. I've got to find it. It was on Two Judgy Girls, but basically on Twitter. Here, I'm gonna find it. I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, here it is. Someone tweeted at Patricia and said, does anyone in America like Ashley? OMG. And Patricia responds, no.
The end.
So now they get off the ferry and they're all sort of, they get back to the house, and Shep and Austin go out to a bar, and Craig is like, tomorrow morning, breakfast at 9:30. And Naomi's like, I bet my life savings that you won't do it. And Craig's like, no shit, Naomi. That's why I wasn't talking to you. But you're more than welcome to enjoy it this morning. I don't even need to hear any more of negativity. It's exhausting.
And Ashley walking back into the house is like, I go to sleep every night frustrated by this human being. And he's like, that's enough now, Ashley. Quiet.
Now he does it. Thanks, Thomas. Yeah.
Like, I just almost blew a Coke vein in the ferry. All right, we only have one baggie left. Save it for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So outside, Thomas is with Catherine and Danny while everybody else is getting ready to go out or whatever. And Danny's like, she doesn't really think that I'm an enabler, right? And he's like, of what? Which is so gross.
Stupid.
And he's like, well, I wanted her to finish the conversation with you. And Catherine's like, oh, my Lord, have mercy. That was so inappropriate in every way. She talked about your children. And, I mean, who's not proud of her for staying so calm? Even now.
I know. Well, the thing is that Catherine really isn't a bind because, I mean, Thomas, he comes from old money. He has old connections. He has a very powerful family. I mean, his dad was a major politician, and he was in the government at one point, and he... good old boys network. And Catherine knows, like, she, like, if she goes true crazy Catherine Dennis, it'd be like, now, Your Honor, you can see she's a mentally unstable lady. She doesn't get to see her kids for 2 more years. I mean, she's really in that situation, which is, like, a really dark, fucked up thing for what should be, like, a reality show. And so that's why she has to stay composed, you know? And she's also a little older and more mature now. But Ashley, meanwhile, is inside, and she's talking to Chelsea. She's like, you know what, Chelsea? I've tried. I just don't want to be taken advantage of my kindness, you know? I've got so much hair flip, kindness, you know? Like, why doesn't she be nice to me then? Why doesn't she be like...
You think she wants to get to know me? Why would she be nice to me? And Chelsea goes, look at what you just said. They brought in a guitar for me. That's how mean you were. And she's like, it's been building up, Chelsea. It's been building up. And Chelsea goes, the evil I saw in you, you just can't turn that back. Have you ever looked into the face of a catfish? Once you do, you understand why people eat them and not instead of forgiving them, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, because basically Chelsea's like, basically you guys look like you were doing so well, like you were on the path to being able to co-parent, and you just ruined it. There's no going back. And Ashley's like, I don't want to hang out with her. You don't even know. She's crazy. But I'm doing it for the sake of the children. I mean, just because you give birth to someone doesn't mean you're the mother. I know a lot of adoptive parents. Chelsea, God gave us all free will, okay? And she chose this. She chose this path. Time to start taking some accountability. Chelsea! And Chelsea's like, please stop talking to me like that. I'm going upstairs to look at swing sets.
Yeah. So then outside, Danny's still...
By the way, how despicable. Just because you give birth to someone doesn't mean you're the mother. Like, what? And are you the mother now? Are you the mother now?
She's disgusting. She's and she's like, why doesn't she just leave? She's like, why doesn't she just leave? People move on, Chelsea. Like, Captain's going to be like, okay, drop two babies. Next.
Yeah, and then and Ashley's saying, God gave us all free will. She chose this. She chose this path. I'm like, well, so did you, bitch. You decided to get involved with a guy who has two kids with this woman who, you know, even your friend said, like, oh, she's like a little crazy. Like, you chose this, Ashley, so don't be shocked that this is the situation you're in.
So back outside, Danny's like, she can't talk to you like that. Like, she cannot flick her straw hair at you. That could have hurt somebody. She owes you an apology. And Catherine's like, she owes me going away. And it's going to be a legal situation soon. And then Thomas just spits up his drink. Like, I don't have much more money to pay off a judge. That is not cheap, okay? And she goes, you know, she's just protective. And Catherine's like, of what? It's been 3 months. And he goes, you know, she's Italian. They move their hands when they talk.
He goes, like, I don't want to sound racist, but, you know, they move their hands around a lot. They're real passionate people. I was like, oh, my God.
He's such an idiot.
Yeah.
So the next morning, Craig is up cooking.
He did. I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see Craig not making breakfast. But he did.
Naomi's derision really is a motivator. I mean, I think instead of like a little Apple Watch, I just need a little Naomi recording, like, you'll never get up and exercise. Bullshit, Vasholy, yup.
But he overcooked
the exercise.
He overcooked the scrambled eggs, though. You could tell. They were like, you know, I like, well, to my standards, because I do not like my scrambled eggs like dry and crumbly, and that's what they looked like. I'm going to say it. I'm saying it. They look dry and crumbly.
Well, you're a terrible person. There, I just said it.
Do you like dry
and crumbly? Craig got up and made some eggs. Yeah, I like my eggs firmer, personally. Egg fight. So the girls are in bed talking, and Thomas and Ashley are in bed talking. And then, of course, Ashley wakes up like, oh, I'm just trying to remember yesterday.
Like, of course. How convenient.
Well, I'm certainly not going to have any girlfriends now.
And then, yeah, so basically in one room, the girls are all in bed talking about Ashley, and then Ashley's in bed with Thomas, and she's like, well, I don't want to leave because I don't want them to get the best of me. So it's like, okay, all right, here we go, just as Naomi predicted. And Thomas,
who,
like,
does get the best of you? What is your best?
Yeah.
Like, you're horrible.
Yeah, what is your best? Like, let's get some Hellmans out here so we can bring out your best, okay?
Yeah, so basically they're just all recovering from the night before. So one group is going to go fishing and the other group is going to go crabbing.
Yeah.
So Shep and Chelsea are going to take these different groups places.
Shep is like, they're all sort of like assembling downstairs in the kitchen. And I like that this cast, they really do look like they just woke up. Like, I think the only people who had makeup on was like Ashley and Thomas. Thomas did his hair in bed. His hair's like slicked back and perfectly combed, lying in bed. But everyone else is like not in their makeup. They're just wearing like t-shirts and, you know, sweats. And it looked like the way it looks when you're with some friends and like you've rented a place. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm there. So then they're all walking around and Shep is like, gosh, too many mushrooms, Craig. What are we in, Super Mario? Gosh.
Could you make me some without mushrooms? Yeah, so then they try and call Cam, but it just goes straight to voicemail. And
Naomi bashes Craig's eggs. She's like, I like how you wait till after we broke up to get up and make breakfast.
So Thomas and Ashley join, and everybody's just looking at them like gyros. And Ashley's like, oh, hi. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this wonderful breakfast. It looks so great. And Catherine's like, maybe we should put these knives away. Then Ashley opens champagne, you know, first thing in the a.m., and Catherine just looks at her like,
yeah, Catherine's like, and I'm the one who gets drug tested, right? So, and someone's like, has anyone heard from Whitney? And Chelsea goes, he's hanging upside down in the closet, which was hilarious. Hilarious. So, yeah, so now everyone's just getting ready to go crabbing or fishing or whatever. And some people get in their cars. It's like really uninteresting stuff here. But Whitney comes back with groceries. And then, so they're in their different cars. And in the car with Craig, Catherine, and Shep, Shep is already starting to now turn against Ashley, which is kind of great. Because, like, say what you will about Shep, he is always, like, trying to be friends with everyone. And he's like, gosh, she doesn't have a lot going on upstairs. And I'm saying that to someone like Craig. Gosh, like, dude, like, I just did Sandoval. Never mind.
And Catherine's like, the elevator doesn't go to the top. And Craig goes, it stops at random floors. And she goes, and unloads.
She has a loading elevator. I love that. There's like, Ashley is actually a loading dock. She's like, she's a service elevator.
Never had a problem taking my loads. If Thomas was there, gross. So I hate even fictional Thomas in my head that I make up. You see?
You're offended by your own impersonation. Ew. Yes. Your toxic masculinity is too much, fictional Thomas.
Oh, God.
So the other girls are going to an Uber. There's like an Uber XL. And they're talking about Ashley. And they're like, ugh, remember last night? Like, they were like, oh, Chelsea was like, oh, I had to be in an Uber with them going home. And they were discussing. Ashley kept on saying how, like, they're perfect for each other. And you see a flashback. And she's like, this is why we're perfect for each other, Thomas. Hair flick, sexy hair flick. It's like, ugh.
Oh, so we get a lot of like, oh, I grew up here. It was idyllic. And then Chelsea, I grew up here. We had river in the backyard.
Yeah, it was. And then back, and it's also, we see some cutting back with like Thomas and Whitney and Ashley. And Thomas and Whitney are talking about her. And Thomas is like, well, I think that Ashley's premature and trying to think she's in a position to hold my baby mama accountable. And, you know, Catherine was so self-controlled, like a proper Southern lady. And, you know, I'm like, shut the fuck up. You should have intervened a long time ago. Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Non-Mayor.
Yes. So they get onto the different boats.
Yeah, so basically they just fish and crab. I mean, does anything exciting happen?
Yes, there? Something very exciting happens. First of all, we met Shep's childhood friend, Michael, on the Papa Bear. And then we also met Chelsea's childhood friend, Chris. He's like, I remember waving at you when I was 5. And then it's, but
I'll really never forget it. It's like, wow, nothing really happens in this town, does
well,
it?
Shep caught a shark, and Craig caught a rock.
Wow, you really hit rock bottom, Craig.
Yeah. So, and then meanwhile, back at the house, like, Whitney's just in bed on his laptop, which is kind of like what I would do. Except I really want to go crabbing. And Ashley's, like, she's combing Thomas's hair. And she's like, you're just the cutest. I think we'd have beautiful babies. I think we should keep practicing. You are a keeper.
And notice that she's using the kid's brush. She's using the daughter's brush.
I did not notice that. He's just like sitting there, just waiting for the time that they can have sex again.
So people come. Shep throws in his fish. He's not going to keep any of his fish. He's like, I don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah,
I just want to, you know, blah blah blah. So he goes to a store to buy fish, which is classic Housewives.
Well, and also Craig. They're on the boat, and Craig says to Catherine, hey, Catherine, you know, you have something in common with a crazy girl. Neither of you took birth control when you were with Thomas, huh? Oh,
she's like, zoinks, what?
And then she's like, ugh. And then, which is like kind of like a gross, inappropriate thing for Craig to say, but I felt it was like it was necessary to mention it. And then Ashley, meanwhile, back at the house, she's saying how she's not going to apologize to Catherine because, sure, her tone was wrong and maybe she was a little too aggressive, but like what she still feels the way she felt, and those were true emotions. And she's like, you know, I learned not to wrestle with pigs because you both get dirty and the pig likes it. Well, guess what? I wrestled with a pig. I'm like, bitch, you are fucking a pig. Okay, don't get it twisted.
Ever heard the one about lipstick on a pig? Biatch.
Yeah, lipstick on an Ashley.
Everyone heard about the pig who needs a hot oil treatment?
The pig needs a hot oil treatment. How dare you say that about Miss Piggy?
So everybody comes back home. Are we okay to go back home?
Yeah, there was just some talk about suitcases and purses, but it's not really essential. It's nighttime. It's nighttime yeah. now. It's and nighttime. Ashley is now and
they're being made dinner by chef. By chefs. Chefs, not by Shep. And there's, of course, one chair missing at this dinner. Oh, no, no.
No, no, we're not quite there
Thomas,
yet.
Right?
So it's now it's nighttime. So Ashley has put on, like, pancake makeup. And she's now, like, I think she's doing his nails. Oh, and she did that earlier. But she's talking to Thomas about, like, she's like, it's so nice to have a buddy that we can just, like, do nothing together and still have fun. And he's just like, uh-huh. Just, like, dying of FOMO because he had to stay home the entire day with her.
And is this where someone's trying to ask them about their nail polish? The chef, like, oh, wow, you guys have the same nail polish.
Not quite yet. It's coming up.
All right, lead. You
so,
lead on.
Yes. So basically, Shep comes back. The girls come back. They got crabs. There's this really lovely private chef named Orchid. Shep comes back with some flounders that he got from, you know, from a bar because they didn't catch anything. And they're all coming back with the food. And Ashley's like, when do we actually get this dinner? Like, we've been waiting 5 hours for it. And she's like saying it as like a joke. But you can tell she's like hungry and being like, I've been waiting 5 hours. Like, enough with this like whole dinner thing. Like, I get it. You know, it's like, you should be so happy that someone is feeding you for free, okay?
Yeah, gross. She's a disgusting human being. I'm just going to sit here and listen to you tell me all the disgusting things
that
this
girl does. I wrote down everything terrible that she did, I hope. So then we see Craig upstairs, and he's, like, put on a hoodie, and he, like, his hair's all slicked back, and he ran out of clothes. So he comes downstairs wearing a hoodie and, like, nothing under it. It's sort of this weird look, especially because the girls are all dressed up. Because as is always the case with this show and many shows, the girls get dressed really, really nice, and the guys show up like schlubs in sweatshirts. So Craig,
he's like, hey, me in the mirror. Hey, Craig in the mirror. I forgot. I ran out of clothes, and I don't give a shit. Well, actually, I do give a shit, but I'm going to pretend I don't give a shit.
I was like, yeah. You need to talk to yourself in the mirror more.
I know.
I love it.
It was a really important moment. So he comes downstairs, and they're all like, Craig, why aren't you wearing a shirt under your hoodie? He's like, I ran out of clothes. And then he's like, we got here yesterday. How did he run out of clothes? Like, and it's
someone
also
pointed out last week he didn't even bring a suitcase, just like a wad of clothes. So there you go.
God. But it's also like, couldn't he have done laundry in that house? It's a house. But the funny thing is that Austin and Shep show up, and they're also wearing sweatshirts. So anyway, the chef starts putting food out on the table, like steak and things like that. And Ashley's like, Thomas, can you feed me? And Naomi's like, feed yourself. You're like 30-something years old. Bonjour, je m'appelle Naomi. Merde. You know?
Yeah. So then after appetizers, they all gather around the dining room. By the way, this food looked amazing.
Well, before the dining room table. I know you want to get to this chair situation, but we're still not there yet. So is that where you're trying to get to, the chair situation?
Go ahead. I'll follow.
So then the next thing is they're all like, you know, they're all like chatting in the kitchen area. And T-Rav, he's like, so what's the baby update on Cameron? Do we have any news on the baby update? And Ashley's like, let's do a selfie. It's like, this woman, I mean, I just want to take her by her thick, voluminous hair and shake her. I mean, he's like trying to find out something. Like, it's just like she's so self-involved and he's trying to find out about how Cameron's pregnancy is going. She wants to take a selfie. I think if it was just a one-off thing, it'd be like, whatever. But it's like, it's so indicative of how self-absorbed she is and how she's like constantly wanting to do things to cement their relationship. Like, let's do a photo where we're together. We're a couple. Let's show the world we're a couple. It's so awful.
Let's take a selfie in front of everybody while you're talking about your baby. It's like, she has to cement it to everybody else, you know? It's like Thomas won't even cement it with you, you idiot.
Exactly. Like,
you're basically just getting shot down over and over again in public.
So then Catherine comes walking around to get the appetizers, and the way she's standing is she's sort of standing with her back to Ashley. Because Ashley and Thomas are sitting at like the table, like a low kitchen table, and Catherine is with everyone else standing at the island. So her butt is like facing Ashley, and she's like, why is this, like, right in my face? I'm like, because you chose to sit there, because you made yourself a pariah, you stupid face, and now you're sitting at the table, and that's why.
So now they go to have dinner around the dining room, right?
No. So... Not yet. Not yet, Rondell. This is the... So now... Shep sits down with T-Rab and Ashley because, you know, he feels bad. He sees his friend as sort of like can't be part of the group. And he's like, gosh, so what'd you guys do today? And she's like, oh, well, I gave, you know, he's like, oh, I got a pedicure. Yeah. And Shep is like, oh, so like, gosh, how long does that nail polish stay on?
Until I say. And then if it comes off and I still want it there, I'm going to put it back on because I'm the boss. Who's the boss, Kath? Thomas. And he's like,
me.
That's what I want him to think.
He thinks he is. And at this point, Shep is just giving these looks like, is she for real? Like, are we actually still shooting my show? Are we on Punk now? Is this like a real thing that's happening?
Yeah, he's like, gosh, great. Sounds great. I'm going to get a drink. She's like, Shep, would you get me some tequila? And he's like, sure.
Some chill tequila.
I told you I'm the boss. And then T-Rab is like, but when he first stands up, even before the tequila thing, she goes, good chat, good talk. It's like, what the fuck? And then T-Rab is like, listen to her. She has a pistol. Listen, good talk, good chat. Maybe she is the boss of comedy.
Shep just looks at her like a bat. He's like, gross. You have officially grossed me out now.
And meanwhile, Whitney's like, he thinks he's like being hilarious. He's like, Craig shaves his chest. Like, who shaves their chest? I've never heard of I'm in a band called Renob. He shaves his chest. Is that crazy, mother? Everyone's like, okay, Whitney, like, it's 2018. Like, it's not a shocker.
I know no one cares. Yeah. And they keep cutting back to him, like, throughout the night going, he shaves his chest.
So after Shep pours this shot of tequila, gives it to Ashley. Then he goes outside where some of the girls are, and he sits down. And this is, like, my favorite part because... this is the most me that Shep has ever been. He just sits down with the girls. He goes, I fucking hate her.
Yeah. That's it. Like, someone has finally pushed me too far, okay?
He's like, I don't like her. I don't even want to sleep with her and steal her away from Thomas. I hate her.
So did you see his Instagram thing this week where he posted a picture with her? He's like, wow, gosh, look who I saw out. It's Ashley. Look, we had one bad moment on reality TV, but, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to just keep attacking her. Like, gosh, guys, come on. Remember, it's just a TV show. No, Shep,
why? Why do you have to do that?
Yeah, sorry.
I liked Shep being shady. I really, really liked it when he goes, I mean... you're stealing my oxygen when you talk. I was like, yes, Shep, yes. Pile on, join us. So guess what? So now Orchid serves up this big old flounder, and it's beautiful. And Whitney's like, oh, I'm a rock star. I'm in Renob. I'm going to scoop out a big piece before we can take any photos of it. And everyone's like, Whitney.
You guys, Craig shaves his chest.
Hey, you know what else shaves his chest? This flounder. So then they're all serving themselves, and Danny is trying to serve herself crabs, and Craig is just, like, mansplaining crabs. He's like, you want to take the heavy ones? Because those are more dense with the crab. And she's like, I know, Craig. I caught these. He's like, yeah, but I'm saying, I know, Craig. Naomi, can you, like, come over here and do what you do with Craig? You know, Naomi's like, oh, yeah, Craig. Okay, Craig. Suddenly you're, like, the crab expert. How about, like, where were you the crab expert when we were, like, dating? Okay, where was this? Okay, voici, au revoir. Come on, Televu, okay?
It's like, just slap him upside the head with the fly swatter and be done with him.
So they're all serving, and someone serves Ashley some flounder. She's like, ew, I don't like that with the tail, which...
Oh, God. Ashley is so... She's one of those people who's proud of being stupid. Like, yeah. She's proud of her ignorance, you know? Like,
yes.
Ew, how do I even eat that? Ew, crap.
What do I even wear on a horse? Oh, my God, what do I even do with a tail? Oh, my God, flounder? Like, I'm not going to eat a little mermaid, okay?
It's like, you're an idiot. It doesn't make you better. Learn, okay? It's just one of those girls that's like, I'm stupid. It's like, that's not attractive, okay?
It's not attractive at all. With all that hair, there should be knowledge in there.
Yeah, I'm just a girl. Oh.
Ugh, shut up.
So there's no chair. There's like no chair for Ashley. They're one chair short. So Ashley's like, okay, I'll find a chair, and like, because no one's willing to be like, oh, you can take my chair, and no one's like,
even Thomas.
Yeah.
Well, Thomas kind of. Thomas is like, we can sit together on a chair. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah, he does not give up his chair, and they're like, can we scoot down for her? And Noam is like, no. And so, Ashley goes off to find a chair, and then Austin turns around and goes, Ashley, as if he's going to be like, just take my seat. And he goes, can you grab me a beer? Thanks.
Now who's the boss? Batch.
So she finally gets a big old chair from outside, sits down, and they're eating their crabs, and she has like a crab fork. And this fucking idiot, she's like, oh my God, look at this fork. Like, I don't even remember what she was saying, but she was like, She's like,
what is this? I mean, what does this even do? Shep, can I clean your teeth?
And I was like, oh my God, did she just make a Shep dentistry joke? Because I would love that. But nope, she just doesn't know how to use
a crab fork. She was just parading her ignorance about a crab fork. Like, how dumb do you have to be? Like, it's fine to, like, not know what a crab fork is. But, like, when you see a table of, like, 12 people all using their crab fork to eat their crab, and you're like, oh my God, like, look at this. Like, you're, like, blown away by the novelty of a crab fork. Like, do you realize how dumb that makes you look? It's just like what you said. Like, she's proud of being
She's doing ignorant. It on purpose. She thinks it makes her look hot. It doesn't. Okay. And I like that she says stuff like, seafood, I just don't get it. You're from Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
I mean, come
you're
on.
From, you know what? You're from planet Earth. How about that? Like, it's seafood. So then she's being so dumb. So Shep is sitting next to her. And he's trying to make a toast, and she's like, Shep, have you ever had a shrimp in your cocktail? And she starts putting her shrimp in his wine, and he goes, don't do that, please. And I was like, ooh, I love that. That just, like, he hates her. And I'm so mad that you told me that they're friends now. I'm so mad because I
Well, I don't know if they're friends or if he was just giving her, you know,
like a favor for Thomas.
You know, like a handout while she was out because people are attacking her. And everyone's like, she can't take it, you guys. She's getting so skinny. She looks really unhealthy. I don't think she can take it. Fuck her. Yeah. Okay? Fuck her. And I'm sick of all these movies coming out trying to make me feel bad for the Disney villain. Okay? Fuck her. She deserves it.
Well, I mean, like, I would be totally happy to root for Ursula. I often root for villains. But, like, you have to be, like, a good villain. And, like, she's not a good villain. She's just, like...
And again, Ursula had good hair.
She's like, you know what? I'm not... I will be empathizing... yes. And I will empathize with Ursula. I will not empathize with those eels. And that's what she basically is. She's like a little moray eel.
Yeah. She's gross.
So, anyway. So, Shep makes a toast with Chelsea. And he's like, gosh, thanks for coming here. I love Hilton Head. It's where I was raised. She's like, yeah, I was raised here too. It's the stars and not in the rivers and the clovers in the field. You know, all that stuff.
He's like, gosh, I want to, you know, say, isn't it great to, like, have a river in your backyard? And I'd like to thank whoever came up with the word idyllic, because that's really served me well, gosh. And, you know, Ashley still doesn't know what a crab fork is, even though we've told her 5 times, gosh. So...
So in the middle of this, Victoria calls up Austin, and she is pissed because she saw Naomi's IG story from the boat, the crab boat, because earlier when they were taking the boat back from the crab area, it was cold. It was gray and cold, and so Chelsea was just, like, huddling with Austin, and so she saw this, and she's like, oh my God, Chelsea was holding your arm and kissing your shoulder on the boat, like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? And Austin just goes, Noah!
I have been making soup for you for 3 days. Okay? How dare you? And he's like, you can't just keep acting like this every time something goes wrong. Nothing was happening. Like,
assholes. I mean,
all we were doing, we were on a boat. It was cold. She's like, bloop. Look at the picture. Look at the picture, Austin. Look at the picture. And he looks at it, and she does have... I mean, they are, like, they do act like they're kind of dating to me, you know?
Yeah, I think that maybe, personally. Like, maybe if there had been a conversation that was like, hey, I'm uncomfortable. I know you're friends with her, but it kind of makes me uncomfortable, this level of interaction, given that you had feelings for her at a point. So could you not do that? Like that. But that
she's fuck both of you, because that's not cool on her part either. Fuck you both. You're jerks. And he's like, you know what? You can't keep doing this every time you get jealous. I can't just talk you down from the ledge every single time you want to call and yell at me. And it's like, oh, my God, she's already been doing this.
I know. Exactly.
This girl's crazy. Like, so he was dating your friend. About? You saw the season where he was dating your friend. OK, yeah. I'm not saying that that gives him the right to go be all over her. I can see why that would upset you or whatever. But I don't know. Don't order a steak and they get mad that, you know, you don't eat cow. Like, yeah. Lady, you saw the menu when you were ordering. So please.
And then it's just like, to be continued. I'm like, really? I was like, you know, it's funny. On Thursday, we had one of the best to be continueds of all time. Luann getting arrested, and it goes, and then the screen goes black and you just hear, boom, to be continued. And this time it was like, will Austin break up with a girl we just met last episode? It's like, I don't know. What will happen? I may lose some sleep over that. Yeah, you know? Cares. Oh, but wow, what a great episode. Shall we turn our attention a little bit to Southern Charm New Orleans? You know, we are real dumbasses because we're like, listen, everyone, now that Vanderpump Rules is gone, we are going to start covering Southern Charm New Orleans on Tuesdays. Well, guess what? This weekend's Southern Charm is the season finale, so we'll do it for 1 week. They get their own full episode for 1 week next week. But this week, there's a lot of talk about Gian, the businesswoman. And I just love how they're just so obsessed on hating on Gian, and she just isn't on the show.
Well, it's only Tamika. It's only Tamika. And it's always Tamika who hates on everybody, who has a problem with everybody, who's a dick to everybody for no reason. So now she's mad at Gian because Gian won't work with Barry after he called someone a faggot.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a good reason.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a very good reason. For her. And, you know, Barry had like a legitimate, like, Barry pulled Gian aside. They were having this Easter, Reagan and Jeff were having a Easter party. So, you know, Barry pulls Gian aside, is like, you know, I know what I said was wrong, but like, you were like, we were like, you trained me like every day and we were like friends, and now it's like nothing. And like, you know, and she kind of was like, yeah, no, I understand how that was sort of hurtful, but we'll talk about this later. And I just felt like they were going to handle it and start that process. And then Tamika pulls Gian aside and is like,
well, kind of, because Barry was like, you know, like, we were friends beyond you being mad at me. You know, you don't even come to training anymore. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, this, I have a business. And like, you, when you talk like that, you affect everybody. And he's like, no, but what I'm saying is that, like, you don't even come to training. She's like, I know, but what I'm saying is, when you do something like that, it has consequences. And he's like, she just won't listen to me. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Won't fucking listen, okay? You fucked up. You don't get to just say you're sorry to one random gay guy who wasn't even affected and then just pretend like nothing ever happened, okay? It's called consequences. Thanks for being sorry, but...
Yeah, and Tamika is complaining that, you know, that Gian is just trying to, you know, infiltrate this group and yada, yada, yada. And then I forget who it was. Maybe it was Justin who's like... Someone was like, does anyone realize that it was Barry who was going to Gian for funding for his idea? It wasn't
she's like, she's an opportunist, which, yeah, that's what I mean, these people, like, here we go with this one again. Opportunist.
I think the implication is that she wants to be on the TV show. I think that's the real implication there.
Because she moved on from Barry to John, the dumbass artist guy. And so she's like, oh, she's just trying to use everybody. It's like,
yeah. Then to
actually, like,
no, she's like, someone said, I don't remember who said it, but someone said, like, she has more money than all of us.
Yeah.
All of us. Which I was like, yes, Gian. And then Gian, so Tamika pulls Gian aside towards the end of the episode. And she's just going in on Gian, saying that she's an opportunist. And she's like, you know, you used to train with Barry. And it's like, you can't draw a line between professional and friendship. And Gian's like, who says I have to? I was like, yes, Gian, yes.
Yeah, and she's like, speaking of professional, I was a client, so you telling me off isn't very professional. And she's like, oh, really? Like, Tamika just never has a leg to stand on. Because and then, she's always in the fucking wrong.
And then she's out of argument, so she just goes real petty and real stupid. And she's like, well, I'm married and you're not. She basically says that. Like, at least I'm married. And then Gian's like, well, at least I had the sense to know when my marriage was over. And just gets up and walks, which was
And that completely shut down Tamika. So great. Congratulations, Tamika, because if this show is picked up, you just got somebody a full-time cast member job.
Yeah, I'm
because she's the one person who's been able to shut you the fuck up this entire season. She was, like, hurt. She was sitting there like, doo-doo-ee.
Yeah, Gian killed her, and I'm like, I'm so team Gian. It's, like, not even funny. And then we had, there was also a moment with Reagan and Jeff, which I don't know if you picked up on this, but... So Reagan has moved back home because she's done with the French Quarter or something like that. She's back home for a little bit.
No, she's been at the French Quarter for 3 weeks, okay? And she comes home for one day and is like, we're going to have a party.
Yeah, she's like, I'm back. And so Jeff, at one point during the party, he pulls her aside and he's like, I thought it'd be cool. I didn't realize, I knew I was going to miss you when he went to the French Quarter, but I didn't realize how much... I was going to miss you. And I've been going through some stuff and I've been working on some stuff. And like, I don't know, I've just been here alone and I kind of felt stranded. And I just want to say, I love you. And she's like, Jeff. He's like, I love you. She's like, Jeff, I promise you, you'll be okay. Anyway, all right, back to the party. I was like, can you just say, I love you back? I mean, she did say, I love you before. Cause he's like, I love you. And she goes, I love you. He's like, no, I mean, I love you. I love you. And then he bears
like,
his
I miss
soul.
You so much. And she goes,
yeah, because absence makes the heart grow fonder, Jeff.
I'm like, bitch, he is bearing his heart right now. He's like saying, I felt stranded. Like, I feel stranded and I'm going through shit. And I like I need you. I love you. And you're being like, you'll be okay, you crazy nuthead.
Now, come on. Let's have sex.
The other thing that happened, I like the discussion about Tamika's daughter and, you know, what she, like, the daughter being the only black girl in her school and, like, the issues that that creates. There was, like, a conversation about that, which I really enjoyed. I was glad to see that on TV. And then Gian and John Moody go to check out some venue for this ridiculous party where John Moody is going to be doing... I'm going to be doing something y'all never seen before. I'm trying to do the accent without just sounding ridiculous.
He's just so stupid.
He talks
like
this.
He's
like,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to work for a charity party.
To do something.
It's in a backyard. Why don't I be on the roof? Because that's like a show.
I'm going to be doing something crazy. John Moody live painting. I was like, great. That sounds thrilling. So it's going to be on the roof. He's like, because I'm not going to be with everyone down here. I'm going to be up on the roof. You're going to be looking up. Can we get some fire to go around with it too? I'm like, oh God. This guy really needs to just like stop.
Oh, John Moody. Yeah, the best part of this episode to me was just Tamika getting like slapped down by Gian. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And Tamika couldn't recover. She's still walking around after like, well, I guess I just don't know my marriage is over. So I guess I'll help you cut the cake because I don't know when my marriage is over. So it's like, you lost.
Yeah.
You might want to just stop bumbling now, okay? Because you totally lost that one fair and square, honey.
You know, we've talked about this before. I've enjoyed Tamika all season, but she has really just, she is the disaster, and she needs to get her shit together for sure.
Well, this has something in common with the last Southern Charm we talked about, which is I love a villain. I've always loved a villain, but I want a good villain. She's just terrible and wrong, and she's just trying to be a villain for no reason and being mean to people who don't deserve it. She's just an asshole, you know?
She is something of an asshole, and it's weird how much I've grown to really like Reagan, even though she was sort of obnoxious to Jeff, and we did hear that they are no longer together, so I wonder, well, that's what we heard. I wonder if we'll see that play out in the season finale. I mean, I get the sense that this was shot like a year and a half ago, because they were talking about, this is Easter, and there's no way this was shot like 2 months ago. So, I mean, the show premiered in April, so clearly this was shot in 2016, 2017. So, who knows where they all are at now, but, you know, I've enjoyed the show, and I'm excited to see the season finale. I hope the ratings have been good, and I'm eager to see where it goes from here. But I think that was really all that happened, and all the major things that happened. I mean, there was a moment with Justin and his girlfriend. They're like, flowers, you know, like wedding flowers, but...
You know. And then, of course, she's even trying to mess with them in this one. It's like, Tamika's like, look, and I found a big wedding ring. Want it, Justin? Like, she's such an asshole.
I find Justin oddly attractive. Is that weird?
I'm not going to tell you who to be attracted to.
I find I find Barry, Justin, and John all to be attractive in different ways. It's very strange.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. Jeff, however, yeah, doesn't.
Jeff just needs a good haircut.
He needs a good haircut.
He needs a shirt and a proper shirt.
Like, he wears shirts that are not the right color, and then like the collar is just like always like unironed, so it's like flat and all the way open. Like, it's just, we need like a styling update on him, and we need to work on that.
Well, for now, let's work on some mailbag, man.
Let's do that. Okie dokie. Crapids mailbag. This is for people who support us on Patreon. If you support us on the Crapids mailbag level, you get to write in a question or multiple questions, and we'll read them on the air. So we didn't do it last week because it was Memorial Day weekend, and we were just eager to dive into the weekend. So let's get back into it. Let's start with Hava Weber. Oh, Hava. She says,
Hava.
Hey, boys. Since in my real life I work as an addictions counselor, I have been imagining some Bravo celebrities attending AA/NA groups. Which personalities would be in the group, and how do you think it would go? A few people I think would be there are Luann, Dorinda, Sonia, Tom Number 2, Stassi, Dorit, and Jax. Feel free to add others. So who is in Hava's AA group/NA group?
Taylor Armstrong. Thomas Ravenel should be, but he'd never go.
He never would go. Kim Richards would not go. She wouldn't. She'd be doing three steps with a life coach.
Yeah, she'd be like, "I'm doing the two steps." It's like, no, Kim. Oh my goodness! It's hard to pick on Bravo because there's so many.
Everyone could basically be there. It's essentially Watch What Happens Live, and you know, I can imagine Stassi being there because she says Stassi, and it's like Stassi would just get up there and be like, "Hi. My name is Stassi S, and it's my birthday, and, like, where are the fucking decorations? Who does that?"
Lisa Rinna could be there. She could be like, "Hi, my name is Lisa Rinna. You're all drunks."
I'll do any
gig. You guys were doing coke in your own bathrooms.
I'll do any gig. Even AA. To be fair, I thought I was doing something for American Airlines. But AA works, too.
Have you seen Hava's duster? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now?
Lisa Vanderpump shows up. She's like, "All right. I called you all here today because the service lately has been terrible." Like, Lisa, this is not a staff meeting.
Welcome to Alcoholics No Longer Anonymous. I just want to say, can't you just drink less?
I'm proud to say that I am known for the most beautiful and wonderful Alcoholics Anonymous meetings of all time.
We're serving something sexy. It's a pomptini.
Oh, that has alcohol in it.
It's different. It's the pump alcohol.
I can imagine Sheena there. She's just totally self-involved. She's like, it's so funny. My name is Sheena Shea Marie. And they're like, "It's anonymous." Yeah, Sheena Shea Marie. And, well, I don't really have an issue with, like, alcohol, but, like, I just wanted to be here because, like, Rob is, like, really great. And, like, we're thinking about getting back together again. And, you know, he can actually kick booze and, like, siphon manage or last. It's, like, really amazing how quickly he can become sober. They're like, "You've been talking for 45 minutes, Sheena."
Yes, sit down, Sheena. Now, everybody, thank you for coming to PP.
Like, oh, it's AA, Lisa.
Pumps, alcoholic, Pumps Anonymous.
And Dorit just gets up there. Guys, thank you for coming to this Beverly Beach fashion show. I'm so glad you're all here and you got a great seat right on the runway. I have to say, I'm here because I want to talk about something very serious, which is that Lisa Vanderpump, she's needy and she needs love. And that's basically it. And we're in a safe space right here, guys. Right?
You're all addicted to alcohol. Meanwhile, Kyle Richards is addicted to talking about me.
Luann just shows up. 3, 2, 1. Drinking for the weekend. Thanks for coming to Lou and Friends. Drinking for the weekend. Like, this is...
Pass that Dutch. Pass that Dutch. Pass that Dutch.
Why don't we get drunk and fuck?
What else is in there, Ben?
Suvlaki, she says, hi, boys. Can't wait to see you in Philly. We can't wait either. And we have that second Philly show. I think tickets are still available for that, believe it or not. And she says, who would survive if the worst Bravo characters were put in a Hunger Games situation? Jax, Patrick, Thomas, Catherine. I don't know which Catherine that is. It's Catherine with a C. I can't remember. Maybe it's Catherine Dennis. Kim, Nene, Luann, and Carol. Who would be the victor? Or would Bethany be a surprise sniper in the woods and take them all out?
Well, Bethany is not a surprise anything. She'd be in the woods like, hey, Trey, move over here, Trey. Move over here, Trey. Like, seriously? What are they, dumb? Huh? What are they all going like, for the food like, in the middle of the field? Like, that's so stupid.
Like literally someone shot me with, like, a flamethrower. I'm on fire right now. Like, I'm in a fire trap, and I'm, like, literally on fire. Like, is someone going to put me out? Like, I'm just going to, like, die here? Like, honestly, like, when I say kill me now, I mean, like, literally kill me now, because otherwise I'm going to burn to embers, and, like, it's, like, it hurts. Like, I can't. My walls are up.
Yeah, she would have that special power of just bringing walls up, though. She'd be like, walls up.
What's up with that cannon?
She's too noisy to ever stay hidden, so she wouldn't win.
Yeah, I think Dorinda would go pretty far because she obviously has a threshold for pain. Like, she, you know, she can stab herself, burn her face. She would get pretty far, but she would eventually just... She probably would kill herself by accident and just fall into a ravine.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else was there in there?
There, yeah, Kim, like Nene. I think Luann would win. I think Luann would win because she's sort of like impervious to challenge. She's like, well, I mean, you know, I was just unleashed in this forest, and there are all these people just walking around. I was like, hi, how are you? Tried to shoot me with a gun, and then tried to stab me. And then I saw Nene Leakes. I was like, hey, Countess and friends, you coming in the lineup? And she tried to bludgeon me, and I was like, girlfriend, no. And I just came here to the center, and I've just been hanging out.
Yeah, Nene Leakes would be that person that everybody bands together for 1 minute in the movie just to get rid of Nene.
Yeah.
Okay, we can be on our own sides again. Let's all separate again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Luann just somehow fails upwards and just wins the whole thing by doing nothing.
Also, I only eat protein, so it's very easy to go hungry. I mean, you drop a bunch of carbs into the middle of a field. I'm certainly not running for it.
Hit it, boys. Quit playing Hunger Games with my heart. With my heart. We should have known from the start.
Sorry, I interrupted your song.
How dare you?
I waited for a rest, and
there is no
turns
rest.
Out there was a repeat sign at the end.
There's no rest when it comes to cabaret.
People rest. Music doesn't. One, two, three.
Rhythm's gonna get ya. Rhythm's gonna get ya. Hunger Games gonna get ya. Luann's gonna get ya. Hunger Games tonight. Ba ba ba. John Scott on drums. That's it.
I would like Dorinda to win just because she would put on a dress made out of fire.
I forgot about the fire dress.
Alicia Keys is like, that girl is on fire, literally.
Literally. Patrick, by the way, Patrick was part of Souvlaki's situation. How would Patrick fare? I mean, I think that, like, someone would just come and unravel his man bun, and he'd be like, no! He would actually be, like, sitting there, like, carefully crafting his man bun back together and just get decapitated. Like, he wouldn't be paying attention to...
Someone would choke him on his own man bun.
Oh, my God. Would that be wonderful or what?
So that brings us to the end of the mailbag.
End of mailbag. Insert music.
Everybody, thank you so much. We will be back Monday with Real Housewives of Potomac. Don't forget to go get our new monthly shirt. What's the matter? What's happening? What's going on? Over at crappinsmerch.com or watchwithcrappins.com. And go get your Crappins Live tickets for Please. Phoenix and... San Francisco.
Please, guys, please buy those tickets. Thank you. You guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, it's Jamie Morton here, co-creator of My Dad Wrote a Porno, to tell you all about LaunchPod, a competition to find the next UK podcast hit. Alice, James and I came up with the idea for Porno after I discovered that my dad had been writing erotica in the garden shed. And 3 years on, we are about to perform at the Royal Albert Hall in June, which is pretty insane. Visit launchpod.org to win the chance to get your podcast brought to life by podcast experts Wise Buddha and Acast.